Hi, everyone. Welcome back to my podcast series. Welcome to the Winner's Circle. On today's episode, I have another special guest. Her name is Janelle. I know her personally through one of my good friends, and we're going to talk about her business, Bridge Ditch Refinery, and just get to know her a little bit. So, hi, Janelle. How are you?
Hi, Tamika. How are you?
Good. Welcome to the episode.
Thank you for having me.
Yeah, no problem. This is exciting. So pretty much like I had said, I know Janelle. She's a sister of one of my good friends. And so she's like my friend too. And so we follow each other on social media. And I saw that she was building kind of like a brand for herself. And so it caught my attention. And I liked the look of it. And I like what it's about. And so I thought it would be nice to have her on the episode tonight, and we're just going to talk about her brand, and we're going to talk about entrepreneurship as a Black female and just her experience with that so far. So Janelle, you want to go ahead and just introduce your brand and what it's all about?
Sure. So my brand is Bridge Ditch Refinery, and I created it essentially to be a design to creation experience. I wanted it to be a platform to learn design and create fashion. And so what it's all about on my website is a way for sewers who don't necessarily have the skills to make a pattern. And a pattern's basically a paper template mm-hmm. that you place on fabric mm-hmm. And then cut it out to create whatever it is that you have envisioned. So I've taken the guesswork out of what might be difficult for some people and created my own designs for people to create at home.
Okay. So kind of, I want to say like a blueprint.
Okay. Yeah. It's a digital blueprint that they can download offline, print at home, assemble, and then just get straight into it.
Okay. And so what type of experience should they have when they are reaching out to you or when they want to go ahead and choose a design to use as a blueprint? Is it something that like a virtual experience on the website, or is it like a consultation where they'll have to speak with you about it? How does that work?
So everything's pretty much preset already. Mm-hmm. So if they see something on the website that they'd like to create, they just have to agree to the terms, put it in their shopping cart, and once they've fulfilled payment, they can instantly download it to their desktop or whatever they're viewing it on and just print it right away.
Oh, okay. That's cool. That's different. Yeah. So how would you say your interest in design and sewing has shaped this business venture for you?
So Bridge Ditch is essentially the practical side of my fashion brain, mm-hmm. Just manifested for people. Typically when I'm creating, I'm more artistic and sculptural, and it's mm-hmm. not made for everyone to wear. It's almost for like to be a gallery piece.
Okay.
But with this project, I really wanted it to be accessible to people who don't necessarily know the ins and outs of designing, but want to dabble into creating and making something fun and cute.
Okay. Okay. So when I look at some of your pieces, I definitely see like the artistic side of it, mm-hmm. with the details, just the intricate shapes, sometimes the dramatic shapes that are used. Where does that come from? Where does that, I guess, that inspiration come from in terms of like some bold and dramatic shapes, designs that are really detailed?
Mm-hmm. So the way that I have set things up is for it to be a very contemporary indie pattern making brand. Mm-hmm. So you're not going to find your typical simple trendy pieces. You're going right. to find classic pieces that have been modernized to fit the taste and standard of today's woman. And so I am very much inspired by art, mm-hmm. poetry, things that evoke a feeling,
right.
Just being in touch with my senses and allowing for them to basically manifest in whatever I'm designing.
Right.
And yeah.
Yeah, I also noticed too, you use a lot of a, what kind of colors do I want to call it? Like, it's like right on the tip of my tongue, but it's like pale colors. No, I don't want to say pale.
Neutral
colors. And is that on purpose? Or is that just something that happens?
It's just what I gravitate towards. I like to take nature walks a lot. It just allows for me to clear my headspace and just get answers to things that may be troubling me. And so I think that it creeps its way into the palette that I gravitate towards.
Okay. And now I know that you said most of the blueprints, it's what you've done, like what you've designed. Mm-hmm. Has there ever been a case of someone coming to you saying like, hey, I want this particular look, like, can it be customized? Can someone customize a particular blueprint they're looking for? Or is it just kind of what you have preset?
The way that I set up Bridge Stitch is for it to be a passive way for me to earn income. So it's just whatever is uploaded on the site.
Okay.
If you have experience with altering patterns, then you can do that once you have downloaded the blueprint.
Mm-hmm.
But outside of Bridge Stitch, I do freelance designing, and those clients come to me with whatever prototypes they need built. I cater to them separately that way.
Okay. I see.
Yeah.
So you want to talk a little bit how you got into fashion and kind of what was it in your life where you felt like, okay, I need to go in this direction. Like, what was the moment that light bulb went off and was like, this is it.
Sure. So just as a young child growing up, I always used to just watch my mom get dressed in the morning, whether she was going to work or going out with my dad. She was always dolled up in just a beautiful, stunning, refined and admirable woman.
Mm-hmm.
And so when she'd be out, I'd be stuck at home with my aunt. She was supposed to be babysitting me, but I'd always find my way in my mom's closet, just fanning my hands through her dresses and cutting the beads off her dresses.
Oh, wow.
And, you know, just attaching them to my pajamas with bubble gum, or just bringing them to my aunt and saying, hey, can you make a bracelet out of this for me? So I was pretty mischievous in that way, but it always inspired me, the colors, the textures, and I was always a very tactile child. So I was touching things,
mm-hmm.
breaking things, exploring in that sense. And it took, me to where I was a teenager and my mom used to take me and my older sister Jessica shopping.
Nice.
And it was so hard for me to find anything to wear because I just didn't like anything.
Yeah.
And so she just got really fed up one day and she was just like, you need to make your own clothes because what they have in the stores, you don't want.
Right.
And I took it literally. I knew she said it in her annoyance, but
right.
It's like, I should. I mean, I'm going into these stores and rather than trying on the blazer, I'm looking at how the blazer is being made. So that has to mean something, you know?
Right, right.
So that's how I got into it.
Okay, well, that's a good way to get into it. I feel like that happens to a lot of people. They get into their groove or they find their niche kind of sometimes not on purpose.
Yes.
Sometimes it is like a little something that's randomly thrown mm-hmm. their way. And then they're just like, hold on, let me try it. And then it winds
that's
up being
true.
Something that just kind of blossoms into a lot more.
It's so true.
So I was taking a look at your website and just kind of browsing around on the Instagram page and everything. And I feel like there's a heavy presence of terms of the, you know, photography.
Mm-hmm.
Have you ever done photography professionally in the past, or have you done photography classes, or?
I have nothing under my belt as far as photography is
okay.
concerned. However, I used to be the production manager for a resort wear brand based out in the city. Okay. And the designer that I used to work for, she used to be featured on Project Runway.
Okay.
And so she was a stylist in her previous life, and her husband owns a production company and an advertising agency.
Okay.
So while I was working with her, she would take me on those shoots that she was styling.
Oh, nice.
And so you're able to gain a critical eye of things that need to be adjusted and things that look like they're out of place.
Okay.
And so back into our real job with her brand, it was a very boutique-like brand. So you may have had one title to put on your resume, but you were wearing different hats.
Right.
And so you were filling the gaps as they arose.
Right.
And so when it came to shooting content for her website, she would take all of the pictures with her iPhone.
Oh, wow. Okay.
And so it was me, the tailor, and her assistant, and we'd put the dresses on a mannequin, and we would puppeteer with the hemline of the dresses with needle and clear thread and a leaf blower to mimic the wind.
Okay.
And so you just saw our hands everywhere, but it was photoshopped out of the frame so that it didn't look like,
oh, wow.
You know, yeah, but yeah, so that experience definitely allowed me to see what spoke to certain demographics, customers, and just tailor my eye to trigger people to be intrigued.
Definitely. I have to say, I agree with that. And
thank you.
Because from looking at everything, I'm a big fan of organization.
Yes.
Like, I feel like people can be creative, and at the same time, they can still be organized. It doesn't necessarily have to all be messy.
I agree.
You know, but I'm looking at your pieces and like your work and just the display of everything. It definitely is organized. That's why I was asking if there was some type of, you know, photography experience you had, because a lot of photographers you see, like when they present their work, it's done in a way that's, it's organized, you know, it's in order, it's, everything has its place, and it's very intentional.
Right. I will, to add to your note, I will say that I do really enjoy thought-provoking photography.
Yeah.
And so I study how people put things together to create a mood that allows people to want more.
Right.
Yeah.
Right. That's good to know. Okay. And so what are, you know, some of the challenges? So like you've made some pieces, like you've made hats and you've made bags. And what are some challenges that you come up with, like in terms of shopping for materials and fabrics and actually applying and putting pieces together and sewing pieces together? Like, what is that experience like?
Challenges. I think the most challenging part is fashion design is very much like making a puzzle. And so you have this vision in your mind of what you want to create. But then when it comes down to it, you have to figure out what pieces need to be put in place or disconnected in order for this to visually work.
Right.
And so it's a lot of trial and error. We use two different methods within fashion design. It's either draping or flat pattern drafting, which is like the 2D model of creating a design. And so it's basically a combination of the two to see what works, if the fit looks right. And I think that's the most challenging part, getting the design to look like how it looks on paper in real life.
Right. I guess I can kind of make that go along with, like, if you have, I think everybody's gone through this where they've had in their mind, they've pictured like this best outfit that they would wear.
Yeah.
And then when they go to put it on, it's like, okay, this is not how it was supposed to look.
Totally. And so, sometimes you just have to give it up and just adjust.
Right. Right. So. Okay. So what are your future plans that you have with, Bridge Stitch Refinery?
Future plans. I want Bridge Stitch to be sort of a lifestyle escape of some sort. People don't necessarily need to know how to sew, but if they just want a sense of visual stimulation or to challenge the way that they've been predisposed to seeing things, then I want Bridge Stitch to be that, like an outlet for inspiration and creation to occur.
Right. And so where do you see this this in the next 5 years? Do you have a 5-year plan, or have you thought that far ahead? Where do you see this in the future?
I'm still working on the 5-year plan. It's so hard to start a baby that's so new and then try to figure out where it's going to go, because so many things happen during the process and you just have to readjust the plan as bumps and hurdles occur in the road. But I essentially want it to be a continuation of my family's legacy. I grew up with both of my parents in the household, and they're entrepreneurs, and so they instilled outrightly the spirit of entrepreneurship and having your own and not working for anybody. And I understand the struggle that they went through just to migrate to this country to make sure that my sister, my brothers and sisters, and I can have all that we have and expand upon it. And so I just want it to be something that allows me to create, allows for me to express the other half of my brain that's not so practical, but that can be, you know, fashion that's more sculptural and can be viewed in a gallery like the Met or the Louvre Museum, you know? And so hopefully one day with hard work,
I could see it. Working, I can totally smart, see it happening. Yeah.
And just keeping my head focused on where I need to go, that will happen.
Right. Okay. And now you spoke a little bit about entrepreneurship growing up in a household with both parents are business owners. So you do, clearly being brought up in that, you know, that's like, oh, that's definitely a way to go.
Oh, it's helped tremendously.
And so what does it mean to you to be a Black female entrepreneur? You starting out to do your own business. How did that make you feel? Just knowing like, this is a step I'm going to take. I'm a Black female. Will I encounter certain things? Have you encountered certain things? Just what does that mean to you?
With entrepreneur put to the side, just working in the fashion industry, I've learned a lot, a lot about myself, a lot about how harsh it can be to an up and coming Black designer, and how, you know, we're not as appreciated or quickly respected as our counterparts are. And so oftentimes when we find ourselves in certain rooms, we look for another Black face as comfort, you know, to say, okay, calm down, girl, you got this. There's a level of support, you know? And so I've been in positions to where I've been the boss in several different roles, and my subordinates are getting paid more than me. And it's disheartening, because it's like all of this work and I'm more than qualified. Sometimes I've even had my bosses tell me that I'm more qualified and more skilled than they are. And so to know that they put you in a position to where not only your craft is not respected, but the amount of years and patience and hard work that you've put in to be exactly where you are, it's not being respected. And so going into this venture, it kind of put a damper in my spirit, because I'm very analytical. So as a creator, as a designer, that's a great thing, a great characteristic to have, because you're able to refine things down to the nitty gritty. But as a person who's starting something new, you become so harsh and critical of yourself to where you wonder if sometimes if you can really pull it off, you know? But it definitely helps to have a supportive family, loved ones, and people that you hold close and near and dear to your heart that can just reassure you from time to time when you don't feel as though you are enough. But it's something that I'm still working on. I definitely, now's a very tricky time to navigate a business because we're in a pandemic. And so there are a lot of other triggers mentally that are inflicting more damage on new ventures than they would have otherwise. So, I mean,
it kind of, I also too feel like, I mean, it's the pandemic too, but I don't know about you, but I've seen in other businesses that, and even in my own work that I do, it does kind of force you in a sense to be more creative. Like think outside the box to kind of get your business out there, get your ideas out there, stuff that you normally wouldn't do, but it's like, okay, let me think of how I can work with this. And it's pretty interesting what some people come up with for whatever it is that they're trying to promote. So, you know, do you see your current business opening doors to other business opportunities for yourself, whether it's related to fashion or not?
I do. My active goal is to just extend my table to make it long and wide enough to seat and inspire all creators, you know, especially those that look like me. We don't have the platform or the access to tools and or the privilege to be represented in our own truth or represented in the way that we see ourselves. There's always an attachment or a stigma attached to our work, or it's either stolen or appropriated to benefit someone else. And so I really want to make sure that we're not only viewed in one way, but we can be seen as eloquent, artistic through our expression and artistry, and just make sure that they know that they can be great too in building whatever that they want to do, and that we don't just need to be typecasted.
Yeah, I was going to say, you don't hear of too many outlets or platforms for Black fashion designers or other designers where they can kind of just, you know, as a collective, just kind of be in the same space and brainstorm with each other and just share ideas and kind of just create freely their, you know, in that comfort and that surrounding environment. Most times you hear about designers who, you know, it's integrated. And so they're trying to appeal to a number of different types of people, but it's majority people who don't look like them. And so that can be hard.
I agree.
So I think that's important to have a platform and something that can just be like a blueprint. And it's something that they can relate to if they're interested in doing so. So let's say we, you know, can I call Bridge Stitch Refinery BSR? Can I give it that name?
Sure, go for it.
Okay. Because I'm like, it's kind of like a tongue twister to like just say all of it.
Through, but it's cool.
No, I'm trying to say it. I'm like, oh, I hope I don't sound like a stud.
No, you're fine.
But so do you, you know, given that that's a great way to see like BSR giving back to the Black community, do you see it happening in other ways too, where like you would hold, you could possibly hold like, you know, clothing drives for families in need, or I know some community organizations do like they donate prom dresses and things of that nature. Like, do you see a BSR doing anything like that in the future?
I would love to do something like that. I would love to create an atmosphere that can give back to create and to also just teach a dying skill that everyone should really know how to do. I mean, it doesn't have to be to my extent, but like, learn how to sew,
make your own clothes.
Yeah, put your button back on your shirt, or you know, hem your pants, or even learn how to iron. You know, but
that's true. A lot of people don't iron anymore these days. They just take it out the dryer and good to go.
Yeah, you're lucky if you take it out the dryer and it's not wrinkled.
Right.
But, yeah, I definitely want to give back. I want to continue to sow seeds that other people can benefit from, and also just continue to be an inspiration for creatives to be authentic in their vision, and hopefully one day I can get to the point where I can issue grants, you know, and allow other businesses to grow and get the footing that I don't have. And so in doing this, this has been a one-woman show. I've had to learn how to edit videos. I've had to put myself in front of a camera. And I'm very shy, and it's been very hard. But there's so many different things out there. There's really no reason for us not to do and manifest our hopes and dreams. It's just the mind that has to be ready and willing, and the hands need to be able to touch and to do.
Yeah. And I think too, the more you keep doing at it, like the more you keep doing your videos and you keep doing your art pieces and your creative pieces with your materials, with your hats, everything, the more comfortable you will be.
That's very true.
I know, like for me, like with the podcasting, so many different little things. Like I do self-critiquing all the time, but I just wound up with like, all right, this is just what people are going to get. I mean, obviously there's some thought behind it, but it's not to the level of like where I'm trying to be a perfectionist, and it is continuing to do it so that you are more comfortable.
I agree.
Just
it's,
doing
yeah,
that.
It's really just doing it and looking back on ways that you can continually improve yourself.
Right, exactly. So I just want to ask a few questions now about the website. So I went to the website and I did sign up for, you know, subscribing. Like as soon as you go to the website, you have the option to subscribe for the monthly, I guess it's like a monthly email. What would you receive in those communications every month?
So right now, there's nothing set up. It's really just going to be what is to come. I'm working on some physical products, and so the announcements will be made within those emails, because I do want it to, I want to keep a level of exclusivity to Bridge Stitch. And so the people that do subscribe will have first dibs as to what's being shared, and can feel like they have a one-of-a-kind creation, as it will be limited in quantity.
Right. I think that's good too. I think that makes it, like you said, exclusive.
Yeah, a little special.
And kind of members club only. Like you have, the only way you can get this is if you just sign up for the mailing list. It's the only way. And that's, I think that also too will build like a partnership and a direct connection with those who are, you want to say, loyal to you and loyal to what you're bringing. So now recently I saw something you posted on Instagram. It was a YouTube thing that you did with the hat. I think you were, you had redid an outfit or a costume that Beyonce was wearing in a video. Do you want to talk about that and how that was from remaking the costume to, you know, videoing yourself and just all of the pieces that went into it?
It was so stressful, Tamika.
yeah, I can imagine.
I actually came across this post months ago on Instagram of Beyonce wearing this hat from the Brown Skin Girls video. And I was just like, oh, I can recreate that. I can make that. And so I saved it and I went fabric shopping. I found a similar color and I just kept putting the video off because I was like, well, who's really going to want to watch this? And
everybody.
And so fall came around and I'm like, okay, it's not sunny outside or warm outside anymore. So,
but we need
it. Yeah, right? That's what I thought. And so Halloween was coming around and I was like, okay, well, this is the perfect time. Like, maybe somebody wants to recreate this, even though it was posted after Halloween. But anyways, mm-hmm. So when I set everything up to shoot, recorded everything, and some of my footage got deleted.
Oh, wow.
Yeah,
oh, my goodness.
It was a tragic
That's
day.
That's tiring.
It was tragic. Like, I literally almost had a mental breakdown. But I just found a way to digitize it and just make it work on my computer, the components that were missing. And editing videos is no joke.
It takes a lot of work and patience. Does. And I mean, just even the part of like recording, then you have to sit down and like edit it, you know?
I think the recording part's probably easier than the editing because you have to make sure your transitions are smooth.
Right.
And so everything was done and I put a little snippet of Blue Ivy at the end and it was like 9 seconds, 9 seconds of her singing. And I got a copyright claim before I uploaded it.
Yeah, don't mess with their money.
I was like, but 9 seconds, like it's not even 10 seconds yet. So searching for the right music to, you know, connote the feeling that's kind of similar to what the video was giving was pretty challenging too. But I ended up having to get rid of Blue Ivy and just put some wind chimes in the background. And, you know, I mean, it's up there. I had fun making it. Definitely learned a lot in the process. Right. But I just, it's a very fun creative outlet. And my mom watched the video and was like, when did you go in the backyard to flare your arms up like that? And I'm like, that's not me. That's Beyonce.
Oh, that's so funny.
So it's been fun.
That's good. Yeah, I know when I was, I still have my YouTube channel, and when I would kind of record, it's not really me per se in the videos, but it's more of me making my smoothies and things like that. But just even something so simple as like editing a video for my smoothies was like, oh my God. Like it would take me like an afternoon and hours on end. And I'm like, wow,
it's
exhausting sometimes. Because one little thing can throw it off and you're like, oh my God, it has to be done, you know? And you want it to be like as close to perfect as you can get it because it's like once it's out there, that's it. It's like you can't really take it back. So I definitely understand that part of it. So do you see in the future anyone else that you would like to work with like professionally? Like have you made, now that you've brainstormed I guess you want to call it like the vibe of your fashion design business and just the look, the brand, like you've established like a personality for it. Do you have anybody in particular that you are interested in working with? Anybody mainstream or even people that may not be mainstream, but that you find, you know, just interesting or just inspirational to what you're working towards.
Tamiko with the challenging questions. I love Beyonce. I love Rihanna's style as well. Who would I want to see in my creations? I kind of just want regular people, to be honest. Like, I want regular people wearing my stuff to where it's not just, I don't want it to be like a blogger. I don't want any association attached to them so that the clothes can have their moment and their shine, you know?
Right.
I just
want it to be a little bit more like
a canvas.
Yeah. Okay. Something a little more authentic and kind of like, okay. Okay, that's fine too. I still see that too. Like, just given the look of everything, I could tell that it's something. It's like everyday people kind of thing, but it's still kind of unique in its own way. Okay. So do you have any other upcoming projects that anyone should be looking out
for? Well, as previously mentioned, if you do sign up to my mailing list, you will get an exclusive invitation to purchase those physical products that I will be launching at a later date. I still have to work out the kinks regarding that, but yeah, that's pretty much what I have coming up.
Okay. And so do you want to just share social media and the website so that way people can go ahead and take a look at everything?
So I am on Instagram. It's at BRDGSTCH. I had to think that one through. Why didn't I just make it BSR? I thought that one was cooler. But so it's that. And then... or you can just search Bridge Stitch, which is one word, space, refinery. And then I'm on YouTube, search Bridge Stitch refinery. And then what did I forget to mention? Website. It is www.brdgstch.com.
Okay. And quick question. One other thing I forgot to ask you that I think is pretty cool. How did you come up with the name Bridge Stitch Refinery?
So,
that's very different. It's a choice of words that's kind of,
you wouldn't expect it.
I don't know. Yeah, you wouldn't expect anyone to think of it off the top of their head. It's not, definitely not the first thing that comes to mind. So, how did you come up with the name?
So, cool story. My sister and I, as little children, used to sit in the back seat as my mom drove us back and forth as she was working. And so we would always cross the Brooklyn Bridge. And my design aesthetic is heavily inspired by architecture and sculpture. And so those lines and those linear designs would always plague my imagination as we were designing and crossing the bridge. So I connected Bridge Stitch and then Refinery just taps into my pre-COVID career, which was a sewing teacher at a private owned company in Midtown. And so I would tutor students how to sew. And a lot of them were struggling with the nitty gritty and I couldn't understand why. And so my approach to teaching would be to meet each student at their personal need. And so you can teach everyone one thing, but find the way that connects to them personally. And so how are you tailoring the way that you're communicating things for things to be basic, but also understandable? And so it's just refining your words, your approach, and making things clean visually. And so that's where Refinery came from.
Yeah. Okay. That makes sense. Now that you're explaining that piece of it, that makes sense to the look that I see, that common theme throughout all of the pieces and just the representation that you have. Do you have anything else that you want to add or mention about Bridge Stitch Refinery?
I think we covered it all, but I just want to give you a huge thank you for your support and just the opportunity just to share about what it is that I'm up to. And you're doing something for the culture by promoting a young Black woman and a business. And we just need to support each other more than we do. We really do.
Yeah, and it's definitely, thank you for that. And it's definitely something that is needed. I mean, just, I think I said in the last podcast I recorded with Chris, we were talking about his vegan business. He's a vegan caterer. And it's just, you know, we were kind of talking about different things in the Black community. But, you know, when you walk out of your house, you're not seeing a bunch of Black-owned businesses. They're all owned by white people. And so, you know, what is it? The thing, it's it's time to like challenge our thinking of when we need this, we should have
I
a Black
agree.
person to go to for this, you know? So it's nice to have like you having this platform for yourself and what you're offering to the community to say like, okay, here's a Black child who wants to do design or who wants to do this type of art and this type of creative expression or this outlet. And they could possibly be like, oh, this is something that Janelle offers versus going somewhere else. That's just not for them. You know what I mean? So I think it's great. And I think there's a need in our community for every aspect. You know, like we need a Black person who's out there making toilet paper like Scott's. You know what I'm saying? Like, that's what we need. We need toothpaste, you know, like Crest, Black owned. Like, you know, like we need a lot of different things. Like, listen, we need like a Black pencil maker. Like we got kids in school. We need pencils. There's a Black pencil maker. I said, because for him. So I feel like through everything, it's important. So I'm glad that I was able to do this. And I'm, you know, this was exciting for me too, to talk to you about this, because I'll be honest, like for the first couple of days, I think you launched it like last
about 2 weeks
or something.
Ago. Yeah. It's a baby.
Yeah. It's still very fresh, very new. And I remember you launched it and I was like, okay. And I was trying to like look at it and I'm like, what is this? And I'm like, it's photography.
It's whatever
fashion,
you want it to be.
But then it's sewing. And then I was like, well, let me look at the website. So then I was finding myself like trying to piece it all together. But I think that's the beauty of it too, is that it doesn't necessarily have to be one thing only, and it doesn't have to be in a box. So I think that level of mystery too, and just people trying to figure out like, well, what is it? You know, like that's the beauty behind it as well. So this was exciting for me to kind of talk to you about this and like get into the details, the thought process behind it, and just the execution to make it come alive. So
I appreciate
that was exciting.
You so much for this. And I just really, I really want for Black people just to retrain our thought process. You know, like we're here to support each other. We're not each other's competition. Like there's room for all of us to win, you know, and we just need to retrain the way that we think and how we do things.
Right. Exactly. I totally agree. So with that, then we'll just go ahead and close out the episode. But to everyone who took the time to listen, I hope you got something from this episode, and please follow Janelle, visit the website, follow the IG, just tap into your creativity and just open your mind to a different form of expression and just kind of see what it's all about. So Janelle, thank you again for being on the episode, and I'll chat with you later.
Bye.